It's a great privilege to be able to greet you on a somewhat soggy Sunday morning. If the weatherman is right, Isaac's going to stay with us a while, and we can expect this rain till at least Friday afternoon. Of course, the weatherman is not always right, is he? So we don't know how long it will take for the storm to pass over us and how long it will water the earth. We have a way of talking about how difficult life is for old people. And as one preacher friend said to me not long ago, now when is it that the years turn golden? And I said, oh, they've already turned that way for the doctor. And we were joking about the fact that sometimes life becomes physically difficult as we grow older. And that's the way it's always been since Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. And I suppose that's the way it will always be until the last man upon the face of the earth is living. But old age is not the only time when there is difficulty for people. Youth is a time when we are thrown sometimes into a very indecisive and difficult way of life because without much training, we must make some very, very important decisions in life. These decisions are almost innumerable. We have to decide who it is that we're going to marry. We must decide whether or not children will bless our home. We must decide whether or not we're going to get an advanced education. And we could go on and on and on with the decisions that young people must make, that are made every day. And we don't pay all that much attention to them. But it's a difficult time. It is a time when young people will say, as my son did when he was a teenager, sometimes I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And I said, well, you ask me, I'll tell you, you're going. And always teased him that way. But it is a hard time for choices. Sometimes youth makes the wrong choices. Sometimes Satan, with all of his powers of persuasion, will approach youth offering them alcohol, and they partake of it. They have made the wrong decision. They have decided to partake of something that can ruin their lives, and not only their lives, but the lives of other people around them. It was not so much so when I was in high school, but it's so today, that even at a very tender age, our youth may be offered pills or something to smoke or something to swallow in addition to pills that will have a great deal to do with the rest of their lives. I read an article in the paper the other day that does not surprise me because 20 years ago or more, I did a pretty detailed study on the use of marijuana, smoking pot, they called it in those days. And studies have now shown that people who begin using marijuana before they are 18 years old reduce their IQ, that is their intelligence quotient, by as much as 20 points when they are measured in the mid-30s as to what their IQ is. And so we have heard people talk about the use of marijuana as being a harmless thing, that it does not harm the body, it doesn't hurt anyone else, when such is not the truth. The truth is that there is a dangerous drug that is in marijuana called tetrahydrocannabinol, and it will kill you if you take too much of it at a time. And so it's a dangerous drug, a very dangerous drug. In our day and time, when there is other drugs that are out here on the market and sometimes floating around on the streets to be given to our young people for the first time or for the first several times until they're hooked on those drugs, and then the young people have to begin to pay, and boy, do they pay, not only with money, but with sometimes their very lives. And so we need to be aware, those of us who are older, that youth have choices to make. And those choices are not always made wisely because they do not yet have the wisdom with which to make them. We should not be so critical of that as we are helpful, approaching and helping them to get past these difficult decisions in life. Youth is a hard time. I have often said, most of the time joking, that I wouldn't live my teenage years over again for all of the gold in the Vatican, because it was a rough time, and it's going to be a rough time. One of the things that teenagers must make an adjustment to and make a decision upon is whether or not they're going to prepare their lives to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, folks, it's better to start life right than it is to fix it after it's been started. And many, many times, those of us who are preachers at least, will be told by those who are hoping that they can be converted and want to be converted and yet are resisting conversion at the same time, that they just don't know whether or not they can stick it out and live the kind of life that a Christian is supposed to live. I always assure them with such passages as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that with the help of God, they can stick it out, they can make it. Others have before them and they can do the same thing. The Old Testament writer, as Marvin read to us this morning, said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The things that we found so pleasurable as youth, we don't even attempt to do when we get older. I can remember as a boy, one of the things I looked forward to was the first snowfall of the year, because that was the time to get the sled out, you know, and a little piece of emery cloth and slick up the runners and wax them good with some kind of wax, paraffin or something of the sort, so that you could start at the top of the hill and do what they called a slam and have a long, fast ride to the bottom of the hill. Then you'd climb it and do it again and again. But I must confess to you that my age now, I don't think I'd attempt that in the first place, and because I'd probably slam and miss the sled. But we don't find that. We don't find snow so attractive, do we? The children, the young people will say, "Oh, look at the snow, isn't it beautiful?" And we generally return the comment with something like this: "As long as it stays off the road, it's fine. As long as it falls on someone else's sidewalk, it's fine." Because it doesn't bring the same kind of pleasure to us that it once did. As we get older, our desires change. They become more mature. And so again, I want to emphasize the fact, dear young people, that it is much, much better, or to use an expression of the Apostle Paul, it is far better to start life right than it is to correct it once it has gone wrong. That's the reason why Solomon, in all of his wisdom, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." When it comes to the matter of deciding for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is, deciding to obey Him and to live for Him, in the time of our youth, we are then playing fair with Him. We're going to give Him a long life of service if we live a long life. And that's only fair, because He gave His life for us. Just a few moments ago, we ate of unleavened bread, and we drank of the fruit of the vine. We partook of a memorial feast. This memorial feast is of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "Do this," He commanded, "in remembrance of me." Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, said that the Lord told him that this was to be done in remembrance of Jesus. When we remember Jesus, when partaking of the Lord's Supper, we remember probably preeminently the fact that He died on a cross, an agonizing death. And after His death was over, a Roman soldier pushed the head of a spear through His side, and out of it gushed The Bible says blood and water. We remember that. We should remember that. We should remember that every day, and not just on the Lord's day. But Jesus gave his all for us. And so it's only right, it's only fair, it's only proper that we give our lives in service to him. To decide for Christ, or decide to follow Christ, however you want to word that, in youth, is probably the wisest decision that youth will ever make. Why? Because you will have what you need to resist the things that I talked about just a few moments ago. The things in this life that are detrimental to your health, not just your physical health, but to your spiritual health as well. They will bring death, spiritual death, as well as physical death, prematurely. And so we ought to make, as early as we can understand it, the decision to follow Jesus. We sometimes sing a song that asks a question, who will follow Jesus? And as young people, we should say, I will, and I will gladly. But I have been told by young people, preacher, if you get too religious, they make fun of you. Well, they mocked Jesus too, didn't they? Even while he was hanging there on the cross, they said, if you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. And one of the thieves said, yeah, and get us down too. Goodness has always been mocked, friends. Look at the case of Cain and Abel. Look at the other cases in the Old Testament, as well as the New, when goodness was mocked, when it was made fun of. I know that it's hard to bear the embarrassment of a young person, or as a young person, when people make fun of you, but it can be borne with the help of God and with the strength that he will give us to bear it. And so don't worry about being too religious in the presence of those who are far too sinful. Because you know what? Your life makes them exceedingly uncomfortable. It does. And that's the reason why they will make fun of you. But another thing we need to ask ourselves is, what assurance do we have as young people that we will ever grow old? Life is not guaranteed, is it? I know a gospel preacher and his wife who have a little baby girl, and she must be 2.5, maybe 3 years old by this time, just an infant. And it came as they were preaching the gospel in a foreign land to the place that every time she would eat, she would regurgitate her food. She couldn't keep anything down. And of course, that began to show in her body weight and her strength and so forth. So they brought her home to the United States. And just this past week, within the last 10 days, she was diagnosed with cancer of the stomach. And the doctor said, it is far too large for us to attempt a surgery. But we're going to attempt chemotherapy. And now listen to this. If that works, surgery will come later. That little girl was not born into this world with a guarantee in her hand that she lived to be 90. She was not born with any guarantee that she would live at all. None of us were. And so we need to be very, very careful about putting off till tomorrow what we should do today. I have no fear for that child's soul should her parents have to suffer the terrible pain of being separated from her by this horrible agent that we call death. And yet how painful it will be for them to lose her if that should come to pass. I'm praying to God that the chemotherapy will work, and I wish you'd pray too for the same thing. But we have no guarantee of growing old. That's the reason why Solomon said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Several years ago, I read an illustration that I thought was appropriate not only for young people in the church, but for those of us who are older as well. It said that a young boy was about to graduate high school. You know, that's when you walk through that line and you get that diploma, that's the one time in your life that you'll know more than you've ever known, or that your parents know or anybody else knows. You just know everything, don't you? You've arrived. And then you go to college, and the first semester you find out there's so many things that you can't even spell that you really don't know anything at all. But he was graduating from high school. And his dad said, "Well, son, I'm deeply pleased that you're graduating from high school. What are you going to do next?" And he said, "Well, I was planning on, with your help and the help of mother, to go to a college and obtain my bachelor's degree and then go on and obtain a master's degree." And his dad said, "That's fine. Your mother and I will be happy to help. But what are you going to do then?" "Oh," he said, "I suppose by that time I will have found a beautiful girl and we will have gotten married. And after I get my master's degree and get a job, we'll probably start bringing children into this world and we'll make you and mom grandparents." And his dad said, "That's wonderful, son. What are you going to do then?" "Well," he said, "probably the same thing you've done, Dad. Work hard for 20 years to rear them and get them to the place that you have got me. We want to give our children as much as we can." And his dad said, "That's good, son. What are you going to do then?" "Well," he said, "I suppose by and by the rocking chair will get us, and we'll sit and wait on God." And his dad said, "Yes, you will, son. What are you going to do then?" And the boy looked at his father and said, "You're talking about me becoming a Christian, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes." The young man got up from the table where he and his father were talking, walked to the phone, called the preacher and said, "Meet me at the church building. I've got something I need to do before I do anything else." And he became a Christian. So now is the accepted time. The great apostle Paul told the Romans and the Corinthians, and perhaps some others that are not coming to my mind right now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You can search the world over, and you'll never find any old person who is a Christian who will say, "You know, I'm awful sorry that I became a Christian in my youth." You'll hear them say, "I'm sorry I didn't become a Christian sooner. I get to thinking how much more I could have given to God. I met an old preacher over in England not long ago. And I said, 'Brother Frank, how long has it been?'" He's 91 years old. I said, "How long has it been since you obeyed the gospel?" "Well," he said, "now I'll have to think about that for a little bit." And he kind of mumbled and counted the years. And he said, "73 years ago, I became a Christian." But he said, "That wasn't soon enough. It ought to have been at least 75 or more." He said, "I was raised by good Christian parents." But he said, "You know how it is. You just fiddle around and you don't take care of the important things in life." He said, "Youth has a tendency to do that." And I said, "Well, so does age." And he said, "You're right. He's a prince of a man and a good gospel preacher. And at 91, rarely misses a Lord's Day at preaching. And that's when he's home at when he's at home in his home congregation, presiding over the Lord's table in the manner in which they do it in England. But I've never yet heard a sincere Christian say, 'You know what? I'm just downright sorry that I'm a Christian.' I have heard them say, 'I'm sorry I didn't do it sooner.' I baptized a man over in North Central West Virginia one time. He was 84 years old. And he said to me, I have been knowing that I ought to do that since I was since I was 14. 70 years. 70 years he had known the truth. And I said, why did you put it off till now? He said, I don't know. Just stupid, I guess. Well, I didn't disagree with him, but I didn't tell him I agreed with him either. He came up out of the waters of baptism, ready to serve Christ with what little bit of life he had. He didn't know at that time, and neither did any of the rest of us, that he only had 6 years left. 6 years to serve Jesus when it could have been 76. Think of that. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people, we love you. We love you more than life itself. We want you to become a Christian today and be prepared to take our places soon. Will you do that by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? By repenting of all of your sins? See, you don't have nearly as many to repent of as some older people might. Will you confess that you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Will you allow myself or one of these other good brethren to baptize you into Christ, rising a new person to live a new life with a new friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. Or if you have become a Christian, young person, and have strayed, will you come back? Will you be restored to one who loves you so deeply that he gave his life for you, while we stand together and sing the invitation song?